14, John 14, the first 14 verses. This is the last of the I ams. Jesus declares, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Entitled in the NIV on page 1082, Jesus comforts his disciples. Jesus comforts his disciples. Let me read the first 14 verses. Jesus says, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Let's just ask God to speak to us this morning. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it does open up life to us. We thank you for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that we can hold your word here and we can read it and we can understand you and that you reveal yourself to us in your word, Father. So we ask that you speak to us this morning, each and every one of us, that you would speak to our hearts, that you would change us to be more like the Lord Jesus Christ. For we ask it in his name. Amen. I was in a well-known DIY center last week over the Easter period, and one thing struck me at this time of year. Everyone is looking at doing up their homes or their gardens. It's all about your garden or your home, I guess. It certainly was in this place. It was absolutely packed. And it's good that we love our homes. It's good that we like to do them up to the best, I guess, to have a place of comfort. Home is such a great place. It provides us with so much. We look to go home. We look to be comforted by a nice, warm, inviting place. And that really, in many respects, is exactly what Jesus is talking to his disciples about this morning. He's comforting them about home, about their eternal home. And in that dialogue, he comes out with that statement, this last of our I ams. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he says it to comfort them. And we're going to look at those three things this morning. The way, the truth, and the life. Three simple statements hopefully will unpack to explain what Jesus is doing and saying and helping his disciples. So firstly, the way. And we're going to obviously think about home, eternal home, spiritual home. The way. Jesus says, let me read it to you one more time. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus says, I am the way. There really are two points to this way. The first is that Jesus is the only way to your eternal home. He makes that absolutely clear. No one comes to the Father except through me. And a lot of people think that Christianity is a little bit too restrictive, that it really isn't very tolerant. Surely there must be different ways to get to heaven. Have you ever wondered why there are so many religions? Ecclesiastes 3:11 states, God says that he has put eternity in man's heart, that you know, even if you want to suppress it, you know that you are eternal. You have an eternal soul, that you will live forever, the Bible says. And so man strives in any way he can to reach his eternal home. And yet Jesus says, I am the way. But I find that really quite comforting, actually, that there is only one truth. That's what truth really is. It is pretty black and white. And Jesus makes that statement, I am the way. He is the only one who will restore your relationship with God. Time and time again, the Bible states, Psalm 80, restore us, O Lord, he says. Psalm 23, as we've sung, he restores our souls. Ephesians 2, again, states that God reconciles us back to himself. Colossians 1:20, and through him, Christ, God reconciled everything to himself. It's the same sort of word, that God brings us back to himself through Christ, his Son. Not by man's efforts. Could you imagine if it was man's efforts that got us back into a relationship with God? How do you judge that? How do you allow that? For man's efforts are nothing. It is only Christ that will get us to God. He is the way. And I find that really quite liberating. There's nothing worse than perhaps being in a traffic jam and thinking to yourself, should I have gone a different way? Is there another road that will get me to my destination? Wondering what everyone else is doing. But knowing that you are actually on the right road, that there is only one road to your destination, is actually very comforting. And that's what Jesus is doing. He's comforting his disciples by saying, you know me. You know me, and I am the way home. Trust me, he says. Trust that truth. But there is another, I think, example that Jesus is trying to teach in the way. Yes, he is the only way to God. But secondly, he's also the way in the fact that he is the example, that he leads the way for us. that to get to God, you follow Christ, and this is what Christ is like. Let me just give you an example of Christ's character this morning. Let me explain to you from this text that Christ is the example to follow. You see, here in John 14, we're coming towards the end of the Easter period. We've had the Monday before where his the triumphant entry on the donkey, and he celebrated, and everyone, thousands of people have glorified him and praised him, thinking that he is the Messiah King. And the disciples must have been so high and exalted and glorious, you know, in their feelings towards this is it. Christ is going to rule. Everything that we've thought about is happening. And then it all goes downhill from there. And this is the night before Christ's death. He has gone from glorification and praise and worship for being the Messiah as he's the triumphant entry into Jerusalem now to being persecuted and hunted down, and he's going to be killed the next day. And it gets worse for the disciples in many respects, because Jesus is telling them here in John 14 that I'm leaving you. I'm going to die. One of you is going to betray me. And you, Peter, you're going to deny me three times, and then I'm going to be gone. And the disciples are distraught. And so the night before Christ's death, what does he do? He comforts them. You see, that's the Christ that we follow. That's the Christ that we exalt. That's the Christ, the God Son, that we follow as the example. There is no one like him. The night before he dies, he is more interested in his disciples than his cruel death. Yes, he will go to the cross. Yes, that is the grand plan. That is God's will. But he washes their feet. He comforts them. He gives them words to comfort them in, trust me, he says. No one is caring about Christ. No one's giving him words of comfort. He is comforting them. And I think he is the way to our eternal home. He is our example. Talking of homes, one of my favorite programs is The Restoration Man. Has anyone seen that program? The Restoration Man. I do like doing up homes and things like that. But it's an example, really, of what Christ does. He restores us to our relationship with God. And he also restores us now. He restores our soul. He comforts us. He loves us. The Restoration Man on the program is just interested in bringing that old building back to its former glory. And that is exactly what Christ does for us. You put your trust in him, your way to God eternally is sealed. And he'll also restore you now on your way to him. He will comfort you with words. He says, trust me, trust me. And he loves you just as much as he loves his disciples in John 14. He is the way. He says, I am the truth. I am the truth. In the Greek, really, it also means I am the reality. I am the reality of your eternal home. And again, knowing Christ opens up your word, his word, to you. Christ is the reality that you have an eternal home. He says here in verse 1, let me read it again through. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? The Lord Jesus Christ, if you know him, imparts the Holy Spirit into you, opens up your eyes and your ears to his word, and his word says that he is going to prepare a place for you. He is preparing an eternal home for you. Just let that sink in for a second. He has done all the work in salvation, and now, if you trust in that, he is preparing an eternal home for you. He says so in his word. Trust it. Be comforted by that statement. If you've got your Bibles, just turn to Ephesians 2 with me. He talks about the Jew and the Gentile being reconciled through Christ. Let me read from verse 14 to the end of the chapter. For he himself is our peace, this is Christ, who has made the two groups, the Jews and the Gentiles, one, as he has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross. That's the way by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Now, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Here, Paul is really talking about the now, that you, if you are in Christ, are being built together as a dwelling place, as a body of believers, and that is really a picture of Revelation 21. And if you want some homework then this afternoon, then have a read of Revelation 21. And look at the final city, the final dwelling place. Your home in Christ. That actually then comes down back to a new earth. So this is the interim dwelling place. We, as body of believers who come together on a Sunday, you gather together, we worship the body of Christ, whether it be worldwide, is the city of dwelling place where God's glory is in you. And that will then look like on Revelation 21, the great city with your dwelling place that Christ goes now to prepare for you. He is our eternal home. He makes it reality if you trust him. But here's the interesting thing. Look at the words that Jesus says back in John 14. This is the crux of the matter of your reality with him. Verse 2, my Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? He says, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me. To be with me. Now, it's subtle how he's just made those words, just changed those words slightly. He doesn't say that I will come and take you back to the place that I have built for you. Yes, he is preparing a place for you. But the important thing is that Christ is taking you to be not in a room, not walls. The importance of it is that he is bringing you back to him. To him. That is the key to your eternal home. Yes, you will live somewhere. Yes, there will be walls. You may even be able to decorate it how you like. There may be DIY stores. You might be able to just have whatever you want in that room, whatever color you want it. But the importance of it is that it's not about the bricks and the mortar. It's about the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what's important. That's the reality of your eternal home. John Piper, in one of his books, says this. This is a challenging statement. Listen to this. The critical question for our generation and for every generation is this. If you could have heaven with no sickness and with all the friends you ever had on earth and all the food you ever liked, all the leisure activities you ever enjoyed, and all the natural beauties you ever saw, all the physical pleasures that you ever tasted, no human conflict or any natural disasters, could you be satisfied with heaven if Christ were not there? That's the challenge for us, isn't it? Because if we are honest, we do like the things that were stated there. We do find pleasure in those things. Wouldn't it be wonderful to be in a place like that? But would you be happy if Christ were not there? Another one of my favorite programs is A Place in the Sun. A Place in the Sun. And it is a bit of a play on words, but it does speak of this reality, this truth about your eternal home. Yes, it is a physical place, and the people do want to buy a place in Mallorca or Portugal or Florida or wherever it is. They do want a place, a physical place. But the importance is the sun. They want somewhere where there's sun. And that's the truth of your eternal home, isn't it? You do have a real place, and Christ is preparing it for you if you are in him. But the importance is not the place physically. The importance is the presence of the Son of God. That's the truth. Lastly, the life. The life. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, he says. 1 John 5:11 says, "All this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son." As I say, we have many, many religions because we want eternal life. We know that God has given us eternity in our hearts, that we will live forever. That is fact. And so mankind strives so hard to get that eternal life. And yet, it's incredible that God does everything for us to get that life. That we strive so hard in our efforts to get to heaven, and no amount of helping old people across the road or feeding the poor or being as kind as you like or as generous as you can be or as polite is going to get you to heaven because someone else has done more than you. And how do you judge that? And we all like to think, well, I'm a good person, and there are those that are perhaps not so good, and that's probably what God's plan is. Those that are in prison, those that have murdered, those that are really, really bad, they're not going to get to heaven. but I will. But how do you judge that? No attempt at physical human effort will ever be good enough for a holy, righteous God, because it's not the problem that we have. God has designed this plan right from the beginning because there is a greater problem to be solved. Do you know how many religions there are in the world, roughly? Have a think. I googled it up, so it's probably not true. But it says there's approximately 4,200 religions. 4,200 ways, truths, and lives to get to heaven. There is only one truth. 4,200 religions. And do you know how many of those religions will get to God? It's a trick question. They all will. Every single one of them will get to God. And non-religions as well. Atheism, agnosticism, humanism. They will get to God as well. Because the truth is, everyone will get to God. That isn't the problem. The problem isn't getting to God. The problem is staying with God forever. God says in the Bible that he will judge every single person on this planet. Man strives so hard to get to God, that isn't the problem. The problem is staying with a holy, righteous God. So if you want eternal life, you have to do it God's way. I like to think of this as His Grand Design, another of my favorite programs. His Grand Design, because it is not by human effort, it's by a much greater plan than the humans could ever dream up. This has to be the truth. It has to be the way. Because no human would dream this plan, this grand design up, that he does everything for you. Because the problem is your sin. The problem is your sin. And we all have it. And so, his grand design is that through Christ, his death, his burial, his resurrection, he now seated on the right hand of God, intercedes for you. And through him, trusting in him, loving him, following him, we have eternal life. Eternal life. And there are two aspects to the eternal life that you want to know, I think, is that it is secure in Christ. He is life. Life eternal with the Father. But secondly, that life eternal starts now. Turn with me to John 17, if you have your Bibles. Just over a page. This is Christ's last prayer before he goes to the cross. And verse 1, after Jesus said this, he looked to heavenwards and he prayed this prayer. Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So the two aspects of eternal life is that it is secure in Christ, and secondly, is that it can start right now. Or the moment that you know Christ. Eternal life is knowing Christ. Now, I don't know if that's a disappointment to you, but the truth of it is, eternal life is knowing Christ. And conversely, eternal death is not knowing Christ. Now, sure, it's just a taste of things to come. This is not perfection. There is better things to come when we are glorified in heaven and perfected. But the truth of life eternal is that it starts when you know Christ. And then it gets better and better as you become more like him, less like the world, and then is perfected when you get there. So here's the question. Do you know him? And I do not mean, do you have an intellectual knowledge of him? Do you know about him? Do you know him this morning? Do you have a relationship with him? Christ's statement to his disciples is all about comforting. Comforting them in their distress that he's leaving them. He's going away. And there are going to be tough times for the disciples, very tough times, as there are tough times for you and me. The truth of this passage is that it can comfort you if you know him. Do you trust him? He says time after time, trust me, trust me. I am the way to God and myself. I am the truth, the reality that I have a place for you with him. And I am the life eternal, and it starts now. If you know me, do you know him? That is the big challenge for us. To ask yourself, what kind of relationship do you have with him? He says later on from chapter 14 that I will bring the Spirit. I will give you the Spirit of truth that will help you, the comforter, the helper, to lead you along the path, that will help you follow my example, that will comfort you and help you through your troubles, that will restore your soul, that will guide you to me. They're simple statement, a simple statement, but a statement that is of great comfort to you, to me, to them. He is the way, the truth, and the life. It's reassuring that there is only one way, but do make sure this morning that you know that way, that you are following that way. Another word in the Greek is journey, and I think it's placed there or used because it is a journey, isn't it? And it is tough, and it is narrow at times. It feels narrow, but it is so rewarding because this time on earth is very short. It is but the blink of an eye, and eternity is very long. And the truth of the Bible is that you will live forever. Your soul lives forever, it says. And the question is where? Is it in eternal death, separated from God? Or is it eternal life in a relationship with God through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ? If you know him, take comfort in that. Build your life upon that. He is the cornerstone. And if you don't know him, then today is the day to put your trust in him. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for the words of truth. Father, so often we want to do things our way. So often we want to think of how we can reach you. Father, we so often want to make up our own truths.
But there is great comfort in knowing that there is real truth, black and white, clear truth from your word, from your voice through your Son, that he is the way, the truth, and the life of our eternal existence, eternal joy, our eternal hope, our eternal peace with you and the Son. Father, we thank you so much that you have done everything for us, because if it was up to us, we would fail. We do fail every day. And Father, we pray that you would comfort us with this truth. And Father, that you would challenge us as well with this truth, for there are so many not on the way. Father, help us in love to steer people to Christ, to in love show the character of the one true God, who is love, who simply comforts his disciples on the night before his death, who is preparing places for his disciples, for his loved ones, and who offers eternal life to those who trust him. Father, help us in love to steer people to that truth, to guide people to that love, and to relish and live for the hope and the peace that that gives us. Father, we thank you, for your character. We know that you are a holy and righteous God, and that sin cannot be born next to you. You cannot tolerate it. And yet you designed the greatest plan of ever, the plan of salvation, the plan of the Lord Jesus Christ, to give us eternal life. Father, help us this morning, this day, this week, to live our lives on this earth according to that great hope. As Jesus comforted his disciples, knowing that life's struggles, life's tough times are so much easier to tolerate and deal with, knowing the truth of eternal life with you. Help us to do the same, Father. Help us to take these words and bury them deep in our hearts this morning. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.